Hello and welcome to the Idaho Reports podcast. I'm Logan Finney. Former Republican President Donald Trump easily won the Idaho Republican presidential caucus this Saturday and will receive all of Idaho's 32 delegates to the Republican presidential nominating convention. We have an account of the day from one caucus location in Boise, courtesy of our lead producer, Melissa Davlin. You'll find that article at idahoreports.org. With six names appearing on the party's caucus ballot, former President Trump received 33,603 votes compared to 5,221 for Nikki Haley, the next highest ranking candidate. The only other candidate to garner more than 1% of support with 534 votes was Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And here to discuss those results from the Saturday, March 2nd, Idaho GOP presidential caucus is Josh Putnam, a political scientist and political strategist, the man behind frontloadinghq.com. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Glad to join you, Logan.
So for folks who are not super familiar with the presidential nominating process, just to set the stage, can you remind us the sort of work that you do at Frontloading HQ and your experience in this arena?
So I started work down this road as an academic about 20 years ago, I suppose. But, at some point I had to write a dissertation, and it happened to be on the rules of the calendar and the nomination process and all that. And it's led down the road to trying to peel back the curtain on how this works, because I think for most folks out there, it's a function of, well, we go and vote in a primary caucus, and our candidate either wins or loses, and they're either nominated at the summer convention or they're not. And that's pretty much the extent of where people are willing to walk on that front. But, I think, like I said, I like to try and reveal a little bit more of the nitty gritty of what happens there with respect to how votes translate from the primaries and caucuses on the state level to the delegates that candidates take to the national conventions and then nominate formally those candidates that will run in the fall.
Sure. As I'm sure most of our listeners here on Idaho Reports are aware, we were not able to run a state-run presidential primary here in Idaho this cycle, so it was a party-run caucus. But I do think that is important to talk about. Even if it was a state government-run electoral process, it's still a competition for delegates for that nominating convention. It's not like a normal election. So can you walk us through a little bit more in detail how these early contests lead into the convention in the summer?
Sure. So, if we're talking about a primary for state or local offices, obviously the person who wins that race or goes to a runoff is going to be the person on the ballot in the fall. But at the presidential level, we're talking about 56 on the Republican side or 57 on the Democratic side contests. And just because someone has won the Idaho primary or the Idaho caucus, as it was or is this cycle, does not mean that winner is going to be the person that represents the Republicans or the Democrats on the ballot. So the process is really to elect or select delegates that will go to the national convention in either Chicago on the Democratic side or Milwaukee on the Republican side to actually formally nominate the president. And again, the process that happens is that the votes that are cast in a caucus or primary dictate, just based on what the rules are on any given state, how many delegates a candidate will get, right? So if we're using Idaho's caucuses, Republican caucuses this past weekend as an example, Trump won the vast majority of the votes, upwards of 85%. That triggered the winner-take-all threshold that Idaho Republicans adopted as part of their rules. And that awarded all 32 of Idaho's Republican delegates to the former president.
And speaking of those 32 delegates, now that we know all 32 of them are going to be assigned to the former President Trump at the convention, can you talk to me about the allocation process or the selection process? Or now that we know who gets all 32 of those, who are those 32 individuals going to be?
Right. So, that's the other kind of mystery part of this process, right, is that, not only are delegates allocated to a particular presidential candidate based on the results, but there's also an attendant selection process behind that to actually fill the slots, one of 32 that the former president won with actual human beings. And that's a process that tends to lag behind the primary, or in this case, the caucus, on down the line as to how that process is dictated. And again, that's something that is different for all states, how they do that. You know, even states that have a primary will typically have a caucus convention process to select the actual human beings to fill those slots. Being that we're already talking about a party-run process in the Republican caucuses, they've already kind of started that process towards selecting human beings to actually fill those slots.
So looking at my notes here, of those 32, kind of the breakdown is it's partially by population, it's partially by how many Republican elected officials we have here in the state. And at least three of them are going to be our folks who go to the RNC. So that would be Party Chairwoman Dorothy Moon, National Committeeman Brian Smith, and National Committee Woman Cindy Sidaway. Do you have any more insight into how the Idaho contest is being determined on the back end?
The basis for what the how the slots are filled with actual human beings goes like this, right? The candidates themselves who are running will file a slate of up to 80% of the total delegation. And so those slots will be filled from those submitted slates. In this case, Donald Trump won all of the delegates. So any of the folks chosen within that 80% will be from that pre-filed, pre-caucus slate of delegate candidates. The party's nominating committee will meet in May and fill in the remaining six slots to the convention.
Okay. Idaho, we're not a super big state population-wise. So can you give me reference for how many delegates, 32 delegates is in as far as the full picture of the convention here?
So there are 2,429 delegates to the Republican convention this go around. So we're talking about a little more than 1%, I suppose.
I don't think the results on Saturday with former President Trump pretty much running away with it. I don't know that that was much of a surprise to anybody. In a more, let's say, competitive primary cycle for a nomination like this, would those 32 delegates at this point in the process be perhaps a shinier prize for a candidate? For reference, we're talking today on Monday. So between the Idaho caucus and Super Tuesday, when a whole bunch of states are going to be voting, the motivation that was stated by the party for running the caucus when it did was to get more attention on Idaho issues and national issues. I don't know if that happened, but that might be just more because of the flavor of the national race than the position on the calendar. Do you think that that was a smart strategic move for, if the circumstances stay the same in cycles ahead?
It's very easy for a state with a delegation the size of Idaho to get lost in the shuffle. So when Idaho has moved up in the past, whether it's a party that's made that decision or the state government setting the primary to earlier date, it's tended to be on Super Tuesday. And Idaho alongside of California and or Texas, it gets lost very easily in that mix. So given a different set of circumstances in future cycles, yeah, Idaho may be able to attract candidates in, say, a more competitive scenario in future cycles. But as nationalized and as much of a lead as the former president had, it's not just Idaho that's suffering from this, right? That's trying to get attention from these folks. But I mean, the name of the game, as we've talked about from the beginning of our conversation, is delegates, and there just aren't that many in Idaho. So you've got to do the best you can as a state party to carve out a spot on the calendar where even delegates within that few a number are going to be able to attract folks in. And that, given the size of the state delegation, given where it is proximate to some other bigger population centers, the Republican Party did as good a job as they could have at trying to do that. They had the right mix of rules to do that in a more competitive scenario.
Idaho is also a very conservative and a very partisanly Republican state. The Republicans have a bit of a stronghold here. Do you think there's anything to an argument that the Republican electorate here serves as a good bellwether for the primary electorate across the rest of the country? For the Republicans specifically?
It's hard to say, right? I mean, if you're setting up a system, from a national party perspective, you may want to get areas that are more competitive, in a general election, situation, just because it kills two birds with one stone, right? You're not only activating voters for a primary or a caucus, but you're engaging them for, the subsequent step in the process, which would be the general election. That's where Idaho may be sold a little bit short, right? In that context, anyway.
Well, as we're talking, I referenced we're less than 24 hours from Super Tuesday kicking off. What do you have your eye on as the events of the day unfold?
Well, I think the same sort of situation that met Idaho and Michigan and Missouri on Saturday is going to be what the states that have their contests on Super Tuesday are going to face, which is a contest that's not particularly competitive. I would expect Trump to do quite well. I don't know that that means he'll win all the contests. Probably does. But there are still opportunities for Nikki Haley to win delegates on Tuesday. It just won't be enough to really cut into the former president's lead that he's established so far.
In most of my questions for you, I've been focusing on the Republican Party for local reasons here in the state. But the Democrats are also going to be running a caucus for their delegates to their convention, the Idaho Dems. That is Saturday, May 18th. I want to ask you, have you been an observer for an election quite like this, where we have both major parties with pretty nominally uncontested, unexciting races right now?
This one is unique for a whole host of reasons, right? Legal clouds that are hanging over one candidate, the age issue that kind of hovers over both of them. In terms of how quickly both sides have virtually resolved their nomination races, the best closest example to that is the races that happened in 2000. When Al Gore was running against Bill Bradley for that nomination, Gore won all of the Democratic contests that cycle, and it was pretty clear by Super Tuesday he was going to be the nominee. And though John McCain won some contests, unlike say Nikki Haley in this current cycle, George W. Bush had gotten out to a commanding lead and certainly drove that home when Super Tuesday hit. So once we got into that first Tuesday in March, just like tomorrow will be, we knew that those two were going to be the nominees and what the general election was going to start to look like at that point in the race. But yeah, that other than that, from what we call the post-reform era from 1972 onward, that's really the best example of two races that have wrapped up this quickly. But it's also two races that involve one an incumbent president on the Democratic side and a former president on the Republican side. That's unusual in the modern history of this process as well.
Certainly. Well, one final question I've got for you. As we look forward to the convention in Milwaukee, if Trump does go in with a commanding lead of the delegates, but Haley does have a few, is there anything in the realm of possibility for her supporters that something could happen at the convention that could tip the scales, regardless of how these caucuses and primaries have gone?
Well, again, I think our expectation should be that Donald Trump is going to do quite well, not only on Super Tuesday, but in the remaining contest to the end of the calendar in June. And if unless something happens with Trump in terms of some of these cases that are floating around out there before the end of primary season, then that selection process that I talk about kind of coming in behind the contest that we see the results from over the last, from Idaho this past weekend and into the contest that'll complete the calendar, they're going to be Trump delegates, right? He'll have a significant hand in selecting the people that are going to represent him at the convention. And it doesn't strike me that even if Nikki Haley has a handful of delegates, that those Trump delegates are going to turn to her should something force Donald Trump from the race. So yeah, at this point, it's difficult to tell what exactly she's fighting for, but to fight the fight and to get what delegates she can. I don't think it will manifest itself into a nomination, whether Donald Trump is in or out of the race. But that's what she's after in any event.
Okay. Well, Josh Putnam, Front Loading HQ, thanks for your perspective this week.
You got it, Logan. Thank you.
Support for Idaho Public Television comes from the School of Public Service at Boise State University, providing objective and impactful research for Idaho and beyond, and academic programs with hands-on learning that equip students to be effective public service leaders.
Presentation of Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television is made possible through the generous support of the Laura Moore Cunningham Foundation, committed to fulfilling the Moore and Bettis family legacy of building the great state of Idaho, by the Friends of Idaho Public Television, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.